think it would be appropriate for me to congratulate our brother, Phil Morgan, upon receiving that honorary degree this afternoon. I was wondering what it really represented. I knew it wasn't a PhD, but apparently it's a BHD, Doctor of Bag Handling. We do hope you'll be able to get his cap on tomorrow. He has also been installed as a member of the Yellow Tag Company. So we want to congratulate you, our brother, upon this tremendous achievement that you've made, and we'll be expecting even greater things from you this week than was the case last week. It's a joy to have fellowship with all of you and with our dear brother Morgan in the ministry of the Word of God. Now that we're going to turn back to 2 Timothy again, we're reading chapter 2 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Commencing at verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, that is, an athletic contest, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord, please note, the correct rendering of this verse is, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Remember, Jesus Christ, not just the fact, but remembering the person of Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, the seed of David, who was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny or disown him, he also will deny or disown us. If we believe not, yet hereby this faithful, he cannot deny himself. These things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about works to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. Study, that is, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker or a gangrene. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. I said last evening that our subject for this week could be entitled Challenging Truths for Changing Times. Last evening, in studying chapter 1, the emphasis was upon the challenge to protect the ministry, the key verse being verse 14, which exhorts us to guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to us. Now in chapter 2, the emphasis is upon the challenge to persevere in the ministry. Because verse 3 is our key verse, thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. However, I believe the key word of this chapter is the word faithful. You will note in verse 2, that we read of faithful men. Then in verse 11, about a faithful saying. And then in verse 3, we read of the faithfulness of the Lord. So that I believe in verses 1 and 2, there is the exhortation to faithfulness. An exhortation because of a spiritual relationship. Note the words of the apostle here. He speaks of Timothy as my son, or as my child. This was a spiritual relationship, because it was through the ministry of the apostle Paul that Timothy came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. Now it is wonderful, dear friends, to belong to the family of God, to have this relationship with one another, because we've been redeemed by the same precious blood and are bound for the same glorious destination. This spiritual relationship takes place the very moment that we realize our spiritual needs, repent of our sins, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are born into the family of God by the process of what the Bible calls the new birth. And the new birth is a spiritual transaction which takes place when we are willing to confess our sins to God and then to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, when you were born into this world, gave you a name. I hope you like it. The fact concerning your birth was officially registered. And you can have a copy of your birth certificate if you want to make sure that you actually were born at that particular time. When you were born into the family of God, your name is registered in heaven, in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. The old hymn says, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I wonder if everyone here tonight can say with absolute certainty, when the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. Friend, if you've never faced up to the fact of your sin, if you've never yet received Jesus Christ into your heart, there never was a better opportunity than now to make this wonderful, soul-transforming spiritual experience. As a lad of nearly 12 years of age, in an after church rally in the city of Aberdeen, Scotland. I remember so well praying the prayer of the publican, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to be my Savior. And the verse I got that brought such tremendous assurance to me that night was the word from 1 John 1:7. "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And I could sing that night as I'd never sung before, "'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord, and He is mine." Oh, friends, we would like to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And if you've never yet come to know Him personally, won't you come to know Him tonight? So that you're able to say, as we read last evening, "I know whom I have believed." We sang it tonight. "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know He's mine. His name's so dear. He lives with me. He's ever near. 10,000 charms around Him shine. But best of all, I know He's mine." The brother Morgan is not on the platform. I'll have to pick up my notes myself. And there's one other thing that I just must remember not to do, and that is not to wander across. Larry Batts said to me last night, "I just want to caution you that you tend to move around a bit." I was preaching in one of our chapels in New Zealand, and they hadn't quite finished the place where the preacher stood. They had the rail round either side, but if you moved too far this way or that way, there was a wide open gap and a deep descent. My wife apparently was sitting there very apprehensive, knowing that I move around usually quite a lot in my preaching. I almost fell into the gap. But when I was at the very end of the message, when I really, it was a gospel meeting and I wanted to really get the message across, and I moved a little bit too far, and down I went and disappeared from view. A lot of young people in the meeting that night, and they were highly amused. Sure, they wanted me to do it again. I remember getting up and saying, "This platform has let me down, but if you trust the Lord as your Savior, He'll never let you down." And that is true. An exhortation because of a spiritual relationship, my son or my child. Then an exhortation because of spiritual resources. Because he says here, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, we were talking about grace last night. Some people explain it by way of an acrostic: God's riches at Christ's expense. We noted last evening that there is saving grace in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That there is serving grace in Romans 12, verse 6. And here we note there is strengthening grace. That means that there are limitless resources for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, many of you, dear folks, have passed through very difficult experiences. Sometimes the day has been very dark, and the way has been very hard. Just 3 years ago, I had open-heart surgery. And as I was about to enter the operating room, I remember how conscious I was of the grace of the Lord. I had preached about it. I had taught about it. But now I was having to prove it in my own personal experience. And I just remember how the Lord sustained me in these moments. When I finally came out of surgery and I saw these figures in white moving around, it wasn't long before I realized that they were not angels, but they were nurses and I was still here in the body. These resources can meet so many different needs. Just last year at Easter time, I was in Greensboro, North Carolina. Sunday morning, you folks from Greensboro remember that I was preaching in the morning service. And I think if I recall, we had about 700 people there that morning. And within 5 minutes of my concluding remark, a front tooth had been giving me some trouble, finally got dislodged and took off. And landed a little bit ahead of me. I had to sort of cover up and came to as hasty a conclusion as I could. My wife said to me, "What was that you picked up from the platform?" I said, "You not see it? My tooth is missing." And so I thought, well, now what do we do? I've got this gap in front that doesn't look good at all. So we were going to our brother and sister Denny's for lunch that day, and friends of theirs, Dr. and Mrs. Johnson, were going to take us in the car. Remember that, Jerry? And we sat down in the car, and I said, "Do you belong to Greensboro?" And Brother Jeff Johnson said, "No," he said, "as a matter of fact, I live on a farm." Oh, I said, "You're a farmer then, are you?" He said, "No, as a matter of fact, I'm a dentist." And before I could see it, my wife said it, "Praise the Lord." That afternoon, he took me to his surgery and did a root canal, Dr. Zimmerman, without using an anesthetic, so that I'd be able to preach that night. I was exceedingly grateful to our dear brother for his ministry. And you know, I just recognized how wonderful the Lord is and how his grace is always proven to be sufficient for every need, even if it's only a missing tooth. Doesn't matter how small the problem or how great the need, we have got such a wonderful Lord that out of the limitless resources of his grace, he ministers to us day by day. Isn't that good? Amen. Yes. Brother said to me last night, "Brother Cliff," he said, "it's all right to say amen." Sure is, brother. Say it. Amen. Then an exhortation because of a spiritual responsibility. Note, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now the Lord had entrusted the ministry to Paul. Paul now was passing on the responsibility to Timothy so that Timothy would be able to pass it on to faithful men who again would be able to teach others also. And this is the only kind of apostolic succession of which I read in the scriptures. The thought here is of the continuity of the ministry. And my dear friends, this is of vital importance in every local church, that we teach and train others so that they in turn are able to take on responsibility to share the blessings in Christ with still others, so that the word may be spread abroad. Now notice, this responsibility is entrusted to faithful men, those who are trustworthy or reliable. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 9, we read of Abraham in respect to his faithfulness. So then, they who be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, or Abraham, the man of faith. When the Lord was speaking of the work of Moses, we note in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 7, that he spoke of him as being faithful in all his house. And concerning Daniel, in Daniel 6:4, we see there that the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. How important it is, dear friends, that we are faithful in carrying out our responsibilities for the Lord. Remember, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now in verses 3 through 6, we have the example of faithfulness. In verses 3 and 4, the first example is that of a good soldier. And we note that a good soldier is characterized by his endurance, enduring hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's a hymn that we used to sing that says, "It is not an easy road. There are problems to encounter. There are difficulties to face. There are needs to be met. Sometimes we have to suffer reproach for the name of Christ." I have known many young people coming from non-Christian homes who have had to suffer great hardship because of their stand for the Lord. Some years ago in New Zealand, I was responsible for the direction of a youth movement, which is the largest youth movement in New Zealand, with some 15,000 young people in that movement. It's similar to the Awana Club, or Pioneer Girls, or Christian Service Brigade. And God has used that ministry throughout New Zealand in our assemblies in the salvation of many, many young people. But what has concerned me again and again is to find these dear young folks returning to a home where they met nothing but opposition and ridicule. They had to endure hardship as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I find again and again that some of these young people become stronger in their faith because of the opposition which they have had to encounter. His endurance. Then notice his entanglement. He must not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. That is, if a soldier has enlisted, then he must not become absorbed in any other interests or responsibilities. He has committed himself to his commanding officer. He has promised to serve wholeheartedly. And so we must not allow anything or anyone to turn us aside from the objective that we believe the Lord has set before us. That little chorus is very meaningful, is it not? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I have seen some fine young people who have set out in the Christian life with great promise. But somehow, somewhere along the line, there have been entanglements. Perhaps they have got involved in friendship or even marriage with an unsafe partner. Or they have become absorbed in the material things of this life and the real purpose that they had for the Lord and the work of the Lord has been lost sight of. May the Lord enable us to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, this one thing I do. Let us concentrate on the work to which the Lord has called us. His endurance, his entanglement, but then his endeavor. And his endeavor is to please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. His purpose is to please his commanding officer. When I was a boy at school in Scotland, we had to learn the shortest catechism. And as you know, one of the questions in the shortest catechism is, what is the chief end of man? And the given answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I like what is said about Enoch. We read that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. My dear friends, I cannot think of anything better or greater that any Christian can ever do than to magnify, glorify, or please the Lord. Sister Abigail, Mrs. Luff, was a great saint of God. She lived for many years in Buffalo, New York. Mr. Ari Laidlaw of New Zealand, one of our well-known brethren in that country, kept up a correspondence with Sister Abigail over the years, and he told me that in a period of some 50 years, Sister Abigail had won an average of 2 people to Christ every week. And every one of those contacts that she made were by divine appointment. She just prayed that the Lord would direct her to someone to whom she could witness concerning her faith. And Mr. Laidlaw said in 50 years, an average of 2 people were introduced to Christ through a personal witness. When she was nearing the end of her life, you'll remember the book that was written concerning her, Little as Much as God is in It. As she neared the end of her days, Mr. Laidlaw was in the United States, and he went to see her. She said to him, my last wish has been granted. Then she said, no, not my last wish, my second last wish. He said, well, what is your last wish? She said, my last wish is that when people come and see me, they may not say, what a great Christian Sister Abigail is, but rather, what a great Lord Sister Abigail has. In other words, as Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, she wanted Christ to be magnified in her body. A good soldier is Jesus Christ. Oh, may we endeavor to please him. Live for self, we live in vain. Live for Christ, we live again. Then the second example is of... Here we note that there is a race to be run. And Paul makes use of this picture again and again in his writings. He speaks of the... that we must aim for the prize of the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a race to be run. Now, when Paul writes here concerning an athlete, he is not writing of an amateur athlete, but of a professional athlete. In the games in those days, in order to qualify, a competitor had to undergo training for a period of some 10 months and then prove that he or she had qualified in every respect before they were able to enter any contest. There is a race to be run. But there are rules to be kept, because the successful athlete must strive lawfully, or he must keep to the rule. And you know that in many contests, there have been occasions when perhaps there has been some infringement of a rule. We may consider it somewhat insignificant. But if a rule is broken, then the competitor is disqualified. Now, the Word of God is our rule book. In the Scriptures, we have principles which guide us. If we are going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we must spend time in His Word. When I became a Christian back there in Scotland, my grandfather, who was in full-time service for the Lord in New Zealand, sent me a Bible, and in the flyleaf of that Bible, he wrote these words: read this book daily, pray over it, and God will bless you. My dear friends, it is only as those words have been true of me that God has in any way been pleased to bless my service for Him. Read this book daily, pray over it, and God will bless you. And as we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will impart instruction to us so that we are guided by biblical precepts and principles. Then there are rewards to be given. Because the successful competitor, the successful athlete, receives a crown. Those days, it was a crown of laurel leaves which soon faded. But oh, the wonderful rewards that are laid up for those who are faithful in their Christian life and service for the Lord here. You remember the words of the Savior from heaven, as recorded in Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according as his work shall be. And the day is coming when we shall receive recognition from the Lord Himself, and from His own hand, rewards will be given. God grant that each one of us may hear on that day His blessed commendation: well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. A good soldier, a successful athlete. The third example is of a hard-working farmer. Now, in Scotland, we had two different kinds of farmers. We had what we called gentlemen farmers. They would own the farm, but perhaps never soil their hands with the soil. Then there was what we called the working farmer. And we have many of these working farmers in New Zealand. And they have an expression there which I ultimately learned the meaning of after some little time. They spoke of being in boots and all. That means they were really involved in the work. Now we have presented to us here a hard-working farmer. There is first the preparing of the soil. And in Luke chapter 8, verses 8 through 15, we read of different kinds of soil. We find, I bend once more. We find that in Luke chapter 8, there is the wayside. And the seed that is sown there is trodden down, and fowls of the air devour it. Some fell upon a rock, and it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But then verse 8 says, and other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bore fruit. We had a brother in New Zealand. He's now with the Lord, but I remember in prayer meetings, before gospel meetings, he would regularly ask that the Lord would that night give us good soil hearers. That is, those who would respond to the word, who would receive the word with gladness, and then produce fruit to the glory of God. The preparing of the soil, that's one of the responsibilities of the hard-working farmer. Then there is the planting of the seed. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 126. In verse 5 of that psalm, we read that he that goeth forth and reapeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I believe, dear friends, that if we are faithful in sowing the good seed of the Word of God, the Lord of the harvest will see to it that there will be an adequate reaping. For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any in the gathering of the harvest host? There is the preparing of the soil, the planting of the seed, and then the producing of a harvest. You'll recall that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, that the Lord says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. My dear friends, I believe that in this, our day and time, it is harvest time so far as the gospel is concerned. Some years ago, at the Easter Conference in Toronto, Canada, I shared ministry with the late Paul Little, a man whom God greatly used in intervarsity work, as well as in his assembly activities, teaching at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Paul Little wrote that book, How to Give Away Your Faith, one of the books that he used as a textbook at Washington Bible College. And others as well, he has written. I remember at that conference making the comment that I believe that today young people were never more ready or receptive to the gospel than they are now. Our students in the Washington Bible College go to witness on the University of Maryland every day, and they come back and tell of how they have been able to share the gospel with non-Christian students, and of how a number have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and a local church has been established on the campus of Maryland University, composed of those who have been saved over many months through the presentation of the gospel of Christ. The hard-working farmer is the first one to partake of the results of the harvest. And if we really get involved in the service of the Lord, we will have the joy of seeing others won to Him. We had a very timid student who came from the state of Maine, and she could not, she said, talk to anyone. So she went on a team, one of our literature teams, and she decided that she would just give out a tract very quickly and then disappear. One day, the leader of the team decided to go to a shopping mall to give out tracts. She handed a tract to a girl, and the girl said to her, "What's all this about?" She wished then she could have talked to her, but she said, "I just couldn't summon up the courage." When she had given out most of the tracts, she came back and found the girl that she had given this tract to sitting reading it. She said, "I knew then that I had to talk with her." She said, "I sat down, but it didn't seem to be me talking at all." She said, "It was just so wonderful. And when I said to her, after I presented the gospel to her, 'Would you like to receive Christ?' And she said, 'Yes, I would.' I thought, 'No, it can't be for real.' And she said, I went through the whole presentation again. And then I said to her the second time, 'Do you really want to receive Christ?' She said, 'Yes, I've told you that already. I really want to receive Christ.'" She made her decision for the Lord that day. Another girl came along and said, "What's all this about?" And this girl, who was so timid, we would say in British countries, she wouldn't say boo to a goose. But I understand in America that's not a common expression. I used it in one of my classes one day, and one of the students said to me, "Who would want to say boo to a goose anyhow?" And so she won these two girls to the Lord,
and she was in cloud nine when she came back, but she said, it wasn't me. I said, no, of course it wasn't you. The excellency of the power is of God and not of us. If we just allow the Lord to speak through us, he will use us in blessing to others. It is 8:30. It's time to stop. So I shall pick up tomorrow sometime, whenever I'm on tomorrow, at the point at which I left off. When I read the whole chapter, I must confess that I had my doubts that I'd be able to complete it tonight. Brother Jim, let's close. Thank you.
Should we sing in closing number 707? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art smiling. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Maybe there's someone here tonight that would like to be saved. Why don't you just ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Wouldn't that be great? Have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you'll hear your cry, if you would just call upon his name.